Welcome back to the Deliberate Day Podcast, your podcast for moms of many.
I'm your host, Tiffany.
And I am Brittany. And sweet mamas, we are so happy to have you with us. Today, we are back again with our good and dear friend, Renee Amato. She's also a behavioral analyst, and she is helping us dig into these clipboards and these tickets and these other systems that we've had so much interest in lately.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay. Everyone wants to know, Brittany. Tickets. Let's talk tickets. All things tickets.
Okay. Let's talk tickets.
There's so much buzz about the tickets. We have to know every single thing about the tickets.
I have so many questions about the tickets.
I didn't realize this was going to take off the way that it did. And okay, so let's talk tickets. The ticket system in our house was implemented just as a fun incentive. It's my mom did something similar when we were younger with tickets, and I think getting tickets, actual physical tickets, fair tickets, are really fun. So I was like, okay, what if I just got a roll of tickets off of Amazon for a few bucks? And we did something fun with that. And then we took it a little bit farther. And I was like, what if you guys earned a ticket for every single item on your spiral notebooks? And they were super stoked about that, obviously. So it started actually because my kids love what we call snack shop. Okay. I have been raked a bit over the coals for the fact that I make my kids earn snacks. So sit down, because I'm going to explain what this means. We don't typically do snacks in our house. And snacks to me are little bags of mini Oreos or different kinds of chips, special varieties of chips, and all those kind of like Nabisco and whatever Keebler snacky snacks, okay? Snacks in our house look very different. If you're hungry, you can eat good food out of the fridge. So we eat breakfast in the morning. If kids are hungry, they can grab a piece of fruit or some vegetables. Then we eat lunch. And then we kind of close down the kitchen for a bit while we prep things for dinner. And then right before dinner, we don't do any kind of eating, because I find that if my kids snack all day, they don't eat any dinner. And we make good, healthy dinners here. And I want to encourage adventurous eating and good eating habits. And so that's how we do it. The snacky snacks are just an addition to that. They're just fun, really unhealthy snacks that my kids love to eat, of course. We started many, many years ago now. It was in our math program that the kids do a little shop. And I was like, well, we've got some snacky snacks in the pantry. Let's learn how to earn real money and pay real money. And you guys can run a snack shop. And so my kids would take turns running this snack shop and collecting money from their siblings and giving them proper change back and so on and so forth. And that's grown and adapted and changed over the years. And then when the tickets came out, I was like, hey, you guys could earn tickets and you could get a snack each day if you want. And then that grew from there into having more options that we decide on and vote on as a family and change up as needed, or as people have good ideas or people get tired of what's on the list. So that's how the ticket system was kind of born. And it's just a fun, you know, extra incentive, I guess. It's not, I've been asked if it's pay for my kids' school, and that's not how we look at it. And it's not the fact that they have to earn their one-on-one time with us, because this is just extra opportunities for one-on-ones. We already do regular one-on-ones. But listen, even if we didn't do regular one-on-ones, real life does not always afford for every single little thing. So if there are parents out there who aren't doing regular one-on-ones with their kids, lay off them. They're doing the best they can.
I like this idea too, because once again, you're inviting your kids into a solution. So you're giving them opportunities to think about what motivates them, and you're putting it into practice. How many adults know what motivates them? I think not many. Right, Renee?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I love about the whole ticket system is that you'll know if it works or not, because a reinforcer is, they're going to have an increase in behavior. You're going to see them doing more of what you want them to do. And so if using the tickets is producing that result, then you know that it's something that's successful in your life. And you are right. Like, adults, sometimes they don't even know what motivates them. So if you have a kid that is motivated to perform a behavior in order to access something that then gets them something they enjoy, it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, that's good to hear because it's been a win-win around here. I have to say, it's just been something that's added a little bit of fun and excitement, I think, for a lot of homeschoolers, if not across the board. When you get into the second half of the year and specifically to about mid-March, April, and May, it is kind of a slog to get to the end. You're like, okay, we just have to survive now. So having something that's a little more fun and incentivizes the kids to be encouraged to keep up that stamina and keep up with their work has, like I said, just been fun. It's just been a fun addition. If at any time it quits working for us, it gets the axe. A month or two from now, you might hear a podcast being like, hey, here are the reasons why we quit doing the tickets. And it's not all sunshine and roses. It's not a perfect system or anything. We're pivoting while we do it. But right now it's working really well. And I'll tell you how it works. On the kids' spiral notebooks or on their clipboards, they complete a task and then they mark it off. And if they've done the task, I give them a ticket for it. All of those tickets get divvied out. Right now for my older kids, we do it once a week. And for my younger kids, I do it daily because the clipboards need to be reset every day. They can turn in the tickets pretty much any time right now. Typically that happens about midday because that's when I'm available to kind of take tickets and count them and be like, okay, yes, you can have that. You can have this. Yes, you can have an extra snack, because I do try to monitor so we don't get too crazy with things, because when you have so many people, some kids are very smart and clever and they'll work the system on you. So I do try to take care of that when I have my wits about me and I'm not distracted with other things. But they can turn them in anytime. And like I said, we vote on the different prizes as a family. Right now we have, for 5 tickets, you can get a snack. Again, healthy snacks are available to my kids anytime.
A treat.
It's a treat. It's just a special snack or treat that they can get. They can also earn 15 minutes of game time, or they can earn a later bedtime. They can earn a shopping day bonus. I've had a lot of people ask, what is a shopping day bonus? For us, we go to grocery pickup on Thursdays. While I'm doing grocery pickup, my kids earn money as kind of a separate system that we do in our house to teach them money literacy and good money habits. Because I'm already out and running errands, anyone who has money is welcome to come with me, and they're welcome to choose a different stop. So they can add something to my Walmart pickup order, or they can choose a stop while we're out and they can go in and they can shop. And I use that as an opportunity to introduce them to different aspects of the world, like speaking to strangers, speaking to a cashier, speaking to a manager. Maybe not speaking to strangers, so don't come after me for that one.
We do not support speaking to strangers.
We don't support speaking while I'm with them and everything like that. We're learning how to make eye contact with adults. We're learning how to have good conversation. We're learning how to use a checkout. We're learning how to price check things in stores, different aspects like that. Also with my older kids, I let them go in and they do their shopping on their own now because they've established this and they feel comfortable with doing adulty things like that. And that's really the goal with that day. So the shopping day bonus, because we have 7 people, I very quickly learned that it got out of hand when everybody had a stop and everybody had something that they wanted to put on the Walmart order. And everybody, and I was like, whoa, okay. We have to narrow this down. You get one thing. You get one opportunity to spend your money. And I also learned that kids with multiple opportunities would often buy a whole bunch of junk and candy. It's absolutely a lesson in life that we buy junk and that we either eat it all that day and love every second of it, or feel like we wasted our money, or, you know, there's so many different emotions that come from spending our money. And what a good thing that I feel we can learn those lessons as young kids when we're spending little bits of money instead of when we turn 18 and then we're blowing money constantly and we get ourselves into trouble. So I'm striving to teach some of those core lessons earlier on, and I'm doing that through this. But because I give my kids the freedom to do that, we do end up with a lot of candy in this house. And that's something I do want to limit a bit. So the kids are limited, like I said, to just one thing. They can either stop somewhere and go in and buy something, or they can put something in the Walmart order. This shopping day bonus adds an extra item to that. So now they can get something from the Walmart pickup order, or they can go to 2 stops, or they can do 1 stop and a pickup order. Other things is skip one subject, a donut mini date. either my husband or I will swing them into Dunkin' Donuts. We'll sit in Dunkin' Donuts and eat the actual donut, or we'll get in the car and we'll listen to music while we eat the donut, and then we go back home. So it's kind of like a mini date, because for us, we go on regular one-on-one dates with our kids, and we take them out for a very small treat. Usually it's $7 or less, whatever we're doing with them, because again, you have to multiply that by seven. And we do it once a week on Mondays. That's when they know their one-on-ones are. And we just go down the order from oldest to youngest, and then we start over. During that date, we're usually gone for about an hour to an hour and a half, and we play games with them. We do fun questions, like my daughter asked yesterday, if you could have any four trees, and it gets to be any kind of tree, what four trees would you have? A money tree came up, a sweater tree came up, a hug tree came up, a snow tree came up. So cute little things like that, those are our regular one-on-one dates. So these dates are mini dates, what we consider, where it's just like a 15 minute or 20 minute thing. You pop off and come right back. We also have a smoothie mini date. And then we have a big pie in the sky goal. I have also heard people be concerned about the fact that this pie in the sky goal is so expensive ticket-wise, but there were a few different reasons for that. I'll see if I can explain them as quick as possible. This last one is a movie date with my husband and I, because it involves both of us, and because it's movies, and because it involves a snack also at the movie, it is much more pricey than our other regular things. And for our family, we do strive to stick to a budget, because I am a stay-at-home mom and my husband is the only one who has an income right now. So this is something that's a little bit bigger that all the kids were interested in earning, but also kind of balances it out with how often they could earn it. And we said, okay, we could probably swing this maybe once every other month. And the way that we work the tickets out is that they could earn them about once every other month and be able to go.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to combine? Can teamwork be involved? This is what I want to know.
That is a good question. So actually, we just turned in a movie date. Like I said, we're always pivoting, okay? Like, we're just always testing things out. So I don't always have answers to everything. And sometimes my kids ask me questions and I'm like, oh, that's a good question. I haven't thought about that yet. Like, let me figure this out. Do we do that? Do we do that? And yeah. I'll go to my husband and I'll be like, do we combine dates? Is that something we do? Or are we keeping it like this? But just recently, my two older kids did a movie date to go see Dune with my husband and I. And so that was something that we did combine.
So they could use teamwork.
They could use teamwork.
Okay. That is so, not only because then you could have a natural leader emerge, right?
Oh boy, do
a natural salesperson in the family emerge.
Actually, I think I'm breeding salesmen across the board, because there's always people in cahoots, which means that I've got to be really careful what I say yes to, because I'm like, okay, how can this be used and abused by my kids who are very, very smart and clever, and I have not maybe thought this all the way through yet?
Well, but not only that, but in the Noble family, the family I grew up in, we got paid for grades. That's how my dad worked it. You got paid for grades. For the B honor roll, $10. You got $10 for the B honor roll. For the A honor roll, $300.
What?
Yeah.
I would have been A honor roll all the way.
Yes, I was. I had three older brothers and I watched them get $10. We had trimesters in Minnesota. I watched them get, the brother closest to me, I helped him earn that $10 because I helped it. He's 5 years older, but I helped him with his homework and stuff. Like, I helped him earn that $10, but man, I made some good cash 3 times a year getting on that A honor roll. That's all I'm saying.
Dang. So
I don't know. I grew up with this big pie in the sky type thing, and I feel like it worked.
Well, it's working around here. And the kids, I like the idea that there's something very small that kids can earn, because I think the youngest kids need a quick win. And so that little snack is really something that's easy and simple. They can get a little pack of fruit snacks. They can get a little pack of chips, they can get a little pack of Oreos, whatever it is. That's a kind of a special treat that day. But then there's something that's a bigger option for my older kids. So it gives them something to strive for and work towards and to be encouraged when it actually comes to fruition. Because I think the kids really, really enjoyed, I think they do. I think we all enjoy seeing the fruits of our labors. And working hard towards something is a really good and valuable skill. And so to be able to learn that kind of in this fun way, I don't know, it's just working really well for us right now.
Yeah, I think it's fabulous. And I think it's such a skill that's transferable to adulthood because it teaches them delayed gratification. If you want something that's bigger, you have to work longer and harder for it. And that's the way the real world works. You need to save your money. You need to work hard. And so I think that if you're seeing the fruits of your labor and the fact that that your children are motivated by these and it's increasing their responding, they're wanting to do these things, it's beautiful. I absolutely love it.
Awesome.
Now I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you keep track of the ticket? Like, do they keep the ticket? Like, cause I would be afraid my kids would lose the tickets and then they would say they lost them. And I feel like keeping track would be something that would be challenging. So what is your system for making sure that everyone has their own tickets and not that your kids would steal their other siblings' tickets?
Oh no, listen, kids are kids, okay? Kids are kids. And right about 7 years old, I think a lot of people will see that your kids might start lying and they might start taking things without asking. And that's really common for kids to kind of come into that behavior and for that to show up. It doesn't mean anything, your kid's not destined for jail or anything like that. But it is a fact of life that you just have to kind of keep an eye on. Some kids are more prone towards that, some kids are not. But I think most kids kind of come into different little areas of maybe dishonesty in different ways. And as parents, it's good to watch out for that. It's good to circumvent that. I try as much as possible to create systems that don't set anybody up for
entrapment.
Entrapment. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So because that is something we worked with before where things get taken without asking or things are not so honest on the surface as they should be, I do tend to try and think that through. I got tickets that are blank on the top and I just put their initials on every single one. It takes me a little bit of extra time, but it ensures that there's no extra tickets that are being slipped their way. It ensures that no one's taking tickets from another person's jar and putting it in their jar. It also ensures that when my kids, inevitably, they will take them out of their jar, set them down somewhere, and then panic that they can't find their tickets and then someone else found them, they know exactly where those tickets go back to. And so at this point, someone just picks the tickets up. It's always my youngest child. And they're like, oh, these are Aoife's. They go put them back in her jar. So that makes it really simple. All the tickets get initialed. And then for us, where we store the tickets, I just have my ticket roll on my kind of master area on our homeschool shelf. And then I use them to pull off and initial there. And then when I'm done with them, I fold them up and I either slip them on the kids' clipboards or I put them in their jars. I find that the little kids really like the act of like seeing their tickets and counting their tickets and then sticking them in their jars. So I try to give them that joy by just slipping them in the clipboards at the end of the day. And then for my big kids, they're like, just put my stuff in my jar. So we just have little half-size mason jars that are wide mouth. Their names are stuck to the outside of them with masking tape. And we just put them in the jars and then they know how much they have and they keep track of them and count them almost every single day, I would say. And they turn them in and
math. They're counting.
See?
So do they keep the jars in their own room or is it one central location of jars?
All the jars are in one central location. That way no one's losing them, misplacing them, anything like that. That way I always have access to them and I can put the tickets in them very easily. They can take them down, count them and everything, but they go back up on the shelf.
Okay. And did you say that they can turn them in at any time or is it a certain, like, do you ever exchange it for real cash or is it always exchanged for an item?
It's always exchanged for an item. So can they turn them in anytime? I found that at first I was doing a ticket turn in time every day after lunch, and that worked for a while. But as life got busy and as we added more activities to our lives and everything, it tended to kind of flow and get a little messy. And then kids were trying to turn them in right at bedtime. Mm-hmm. And then some kids were trying to turn them in before breakfast. And they're like, no, we're focusing on homeschooling now. And so over the months that we've been using this, we've kind of narrowed it down to there is no specific time that tickets can be turned in, but I reserve the right to say, I'm not available to accept tickets right now. You can ask me about that at this time instead. And so kind of each day we gauge it, but for the most part after lunch, when we homeschool, we get done, we break for lunch, we eat lunch. And then after lunch, I typically go upstairs and I work on things that need to be done around the house or for our finances or for business, or I work on the computer and edit podcasts and do different stuff like that. Little ones lay down for rest. And then my big kids have the opportunity to have free time. So usually at that point, before I go upstairs, I'll say, hey, I'm about to leave and go upstairs. Does anybody need anything from me? And does anyone want to turn in tickets? So usually they'll turn in tickets at that point. And then sometimes right around dinner time, my kids will be like, hey, actually, I really want to stay up late tonight with this person and play a game, or I really want to stay up late and finish this movie we were watching, or I really want to stay up late and finish this book I'm reading. And so they'll turn in tickets then as well.
Holy cow. I had a lot of questions too about the tickets. This is not, guys, I don't do this in my homeschool, but now I really want to, just like Renee. Holy cow. I am just so thankful that you took the time, Renee, to come and ask all these questions and to offer your behavioral analyst take on this, because you went to a lot of school and got a lot of letters behind your name and did a lot of hard work to be able to really weigh in on stuff like this. And you've worked with children, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that this is what I love so much about a system like this is initially when we're young, there's primary reinforcers, which are things like food and sleep and being warm. Like, that's something that is just, you don't need to earn it. You don't need to desire a need for, like, it's just there. You're just born with it, right? God just gave you those instinctual needs. So as you get older, you have this learning ability to then put together, it's a condition reinforcer. We're like, hey, this ticket in and of itself provides no value. Like, I can't do anything with this ticket, but I can use this ticket and exchange it for something that is valuable to me. And that's a beautiful learning opportunity for a child, because it teaches them so many skills. It teaches them so much motivation. It teaches them this work ethic that wouldn't be there otherwise. And like you said, you can shape it up where when you have a younger child, they can't really hold out. They want to have something right away. So you have a lower value item that you can give to them. And then as they get older and they learn more, to save up and to, you know, have a reinforcer that's bigger. And school is not something that's fun for a lot. I mean, I know you guys make it fun. We try as homeschooling moms to make school fun, but let's be honest, like, it's not always all that fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So pairing it with something that is exciting, and you said it, I heard you say it multiple times, that the tickets are something that the kids enjoy. So you're using something that they love and that's motivating to them to get them to do something that they don't love is a beautiful system. And I just think it's something that I would love to do it in my own homeschool. Like, Tiffany, I know you said that you don't do this. I don't do it either. And it's funny because I should, because it works. And like, and Brittany, like you said, you're seeing the fruits of the labor. You're seeing these kids do things that they don't particularly want to do. Like, I don't think anyone wants to do their math. I mean, I don't know. Maybe your kids do, but my kids do not. So the fact that they do,
I don't even want to do their math with them.
Oh, I don't either. Oh.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're doing these behaviors and the tickets are a part of that bridge to get them to where they want to go, I absolutely love. And I think it's brilliant.
Awesome. Thank you. And actually, sweet mamas, before we go, I do want to tell you about a couple things we've got in our shop that we just got in there recently. One of them is our homeschool plan, like a mother guide. And it's just a really good guide when you're getting ready to start your homeschool year. Even if you've been a homeschooler for a long time or you're just figuring things out, there are some questions in there and there are some really good prompts to kind of get you ready to plan your year, to look at your curriculum and what you want to do, to think about your why behind what you're doing, because that should really be our leading factor here. If you have a kid who's really struggling in school emotionally or academically, or you have somebody who's being bullied and you're pulling them home for that reason, like, whatever your reasons are, there are some deep whys that we make these really big life decisions. And those should be what are leading our homeschool. This guide is focused around those deep whys, and it's focused around taking a look at your curriculum. And I love being organized. So it is all about getting things organized before you get there. There's a way to write down the supplies you'll need. There's a way to write down how much you're spending on different things, because for me, that's a big part of our homeschool journey, as well as kind of writing out how much we need to have for everything. And there's also something really exciting in there. I'll let Tiffany tell you about that, though, because it's one of her favorite things. It's our student narrative and our mom narrative, our homeschool mom narrative. So Tiff, I'll let you take that away.
Okay, so if you're not a list maker, but you're living in your homeschool and you're noticing all these things, these narratives are going to help you become more of a student of yourself. Because let's be honest, the person who's going to be in your homeschool the longest is you. That's another Sarah McKenzie quote, but it's so true. Mm-hmm. You are going to graduate these kids. Also, a lot of times we have kids who maybe are younger, like Brittany said, who aren't doing all of that academic stuff, but they're still learning, learning to tie your shoes, learning to ride a bike. These are all types of learning that can be captured in something like a student narrative. For older kids, getting their first job, getting their second job, that is worth noting. Mm-hmm. It's not an academic thing, but it's a huge life thing. And that's why I like these pages so much.
Yeah, they're just, a narrative is a story. And we're just taking a brief moment to write a story about our kids. You can do them monthly. You can do them quarterly. Right now, I only do mine quarterly because I can't dedicate myself to them monthly. But it's really incredible, especially as moms, I think, to look back and see the different areas of growth and to really pause, because you can get into the weeds with homeschooling and you can be like, ah, we're not getting anywhere. I am beating my head against a wall with this kid who just doesn't want to read. And you could feel really down on yourself. But then you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, 6 months ago, we pulled him out of school and he couldn't even spell at, like he couldn't even read at. And now he's reading cat and it feels like not much growth, but there is a lot of growth there. And there's a lot of really beautiful things, like Tiffany said, that we're not focusing on when we're homeschooling, because it's easy to get in the weeds and only focus on the details so that we can get things done. And that's okay, but it's really important to reflect back on the things that we're doing, because we're doing big things in our homeschools. You are doing beautiful work in your homeschools. So this guide is meant to just kind of give you a pause, help you look at those things, help you get your curriculum and your year set up really well. But then we also have our editable clipboard template. We've talked about that a lot lately. And it's just a very simple 9-grid template that you can pull up online and you can edit any way you want to. You can put your child's name in, you can put little pictures in, you can use it for big kids, you can use it for younger kids. And it's meant to be used as a system for organizing your homeschool and giving them a lot of independence and autonomy in their homeschool. So if you're interested in that, it's only $1.99 on the website right now. And our Homeschool Plan Like a Mother guide is actually on sale for 50% off as well when this podcast comes out. So you can go check both of those out in our shop at thedeliberateday.org, or you can click the link in the show notes because they're always there as well. And sweet mama,
always remember,
you are doing beautiful work.